You want it? Say yes. Give God some praise. Tell your neighbor, I'm wrestling for a change. Look at me now, because when day break, you ain't gonna see the same person. When day break, I'm coming out. When day break, I'm coming out of Israel. I was by myself, and I was still Jacob. Oh, let me tell you about that. That's the part I forgot to tell you. So many people talking about, I got to leave this person. Get away from that person. But when Jacob was by himself, he was still Jacob. He was still a trickster. But when God came, he changed his life. Somebody say yes. Come on and give God praise. Tell somebody, say neighbor, say, oh neighbor, I may not know three things, I may not even know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Won't you get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? And turn them, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I just want to take one verse from 1 Peter, and that would be verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And it simply says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers of his holy word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my promotion is on the way. I don't care what arena your promotion is coming in. If you will simply hear the word of the Lord and obey it, God has some promises connected with this principle. If we apply it, Peter shares this word, and he's dealing with some commands that is to be understood, or that are to be understood by Christians. The world may not understand these commands, these principles. They may not understand how, if they would do what seems opposite of the world's teaching and the world's principles and the world's tactics, how they will be profitable. But God has given us a whole nother word to live by. That's why the Bible says that if we're really going to be blessed, then we have to make sure that we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We can't stand in the way of the sinner, nor can we sit in the seat of the scornful. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that word doth we meditate day and night, because God has another word for us. The world has one word, but God has the word. And when we learn how to operate in that word, God has to back up. Have you ever been passed over on secular jobs, a promotion that you were rightfully due? Has there ever been a time in your life when you figured at a certain point in time you should be a whole lot further than where you are? Has there ever been a time when you found yourself more qualified than someone else who was less qualified, more deserving than someone who was less deserving, but it seemed as though your positions were juxtaposed? Well, there is a word from the Lord, and I need you to see it the way God sees it. If we focus on what God tells and teaches us to focus on, then while he's working it out, and we are in fellowship and worship of him, he will continuously, from past to present to future, give us something to continuously be in praise about. I can't begin to tell you how important praise is as a part of your daily worship, as a part of your daily meditation, as a part of your daily action. Because if you really learn the power of praise, you will keep praise as a part of your continual operation. I mean, you'll have reasons upon reasons, and if ever you think of his goodness to you, then you'll have reasons while you're waiting him to open up one door, you'll just be caught up in the doors he's already open. And by the time you keep looking back about what he's already done, when you turn around and look again, he done opened up another door. But when you stand there being bigoted, talking about I deserve to be this, I went to school, I got blah blah blah, when you get caught up in your I-itis, you hinder God from doing what he wants. So look at what the first word says in verse 6. Humble. Jesus said, humble is the way. Humble. Now, the problem with humility is we think everybody else ought to have it. But look at the word. It says, humble yourself. Now, this is important. I need you to understand. God can humble you and still never promote you. If he humbles you, usually chastisement, correction, and punishment is the result of him humbling you. So with that, he has no need nor no warrant to bless you because he had to break you. But when you understand it in its proper context and content, you'll understand that when you humble yourself in the presence and in the understanding of whose presence you are in, then it ought to be easy for you to humble yourself, bring yourself to the realization that you are the creation and he is the creator, and everything you are is because of him, and in him you move and have your being. When you realize and recognize that the humility that must come at this point comes because of your relationship and your fellowship and your understanding of his purpose for your life. Humble yourself. Well, when I humble myself, I begin to realize several things at play. First of all, that number one, God is in control. And if God is in control, then there is nothing chaotic, even if it seems like it, that God has not already worked out. What I've got to understand is that between his promise and the actual providing or the manifestation of that reality is called a process. And sometimes in the process of building or constructing, there's got to be some destructing. So sometimes before he can build up, there are some things he's got to tear down. Sometime you've got to realize before he can put you back the way he wants you, he's got to pick you all apart. Sometime before you can straighten up, you got to mess up some stuff. You got to pull some stuff up and get to the root of something. So you got to understand there is a process by which and through which God operates to get me to that next level. And I can't focus on the process. What I need to do while he's working it out is just continue to focus on him and what he's already done and praise my way through the process. Second of all, I've got to realize that not only, you know, is he in control, but I am his child. And if I am his child, I've got to remember that he loves me too much to let me have my own way. So sometime he's got to chastise me or discipline me. And yet I may not always understand why he uses the measures that he uses. Sometime that word discipline or chastisement has or carries two or dual connotations. One with he has to straighten me out for stuff I've done wrong. That's punishment. But then sometime he's got to train me and divinely develop me so that I'll be able to handle. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And it simply says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers of his holy word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, my promotion is on the way. I don't care what arena your promotion is coming in. If you will simply hear the word of the Lord and obey it, God has some promises connected with this principle if we apply it. Peter shares this word, and he's dealing with some commands that is to be understood, or that are to be understood by Christians. The world may not understand these commands, these principles. They may not understand how, if they would do what seems opposite of the world's teaching and the world's principles and the world's tactics, how they will be profitable. But God has given us a whole nother word to live by. That's why the Bible says that if we're really going to be blessed, then we have to make sure that we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We can't stand in the way of the sinner, nor can we sit in the seat of the scornful. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and if that word doth we meditate day and night, because God has another word for us. The world has one word, but God has the word. And when we learn how to operate in that word, God has to back up. Have you ever been passed over on secular jobs, a promotion that you were rightfully due? Has there ever been a time in your life when you figured at a certain point in time you should be a whole lot further than where you are? Has there ever been a time when you found yourself more qualified than someone else who was less qualified, more deserving than someone who was less deserving, but it seemed as though your positions were juxtaposed? Well, there is a word from the Lord, and I need you to see it the way God sees it. If we focus on what God tells and teaches us to focus on, then while he's working it out, and we are in fellowship and worship of him, he will continuously, from past to present to future, give us something to continuously be in praise about. I can't begin to tell you how important praise is as a part of your daily worship, as a part of your daily meditation, as a part of your daily action. Because when you really learn the power of praise, you will keep praise as a part of your continual operation. I mean, you'll have reasons upon reasons, and if ever you think of his goodness to you, then you'll have reasons while you're waiting him to open up one door, you'll just be caught up in the doors he's already open. And by the time you keep looking back about what he's already done, when you turn around and look again, he done opened up another door. But when you stand there being bigoted, talking about, I deserve to be this, I went to school, I got blah, 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 when you get caught up in your I-itis, you hinder God from doing what he wants. So look at what the first word says in verse 6. Humble. Jesus said, humble is the way. Humble. Now, the problem with humility is we think everybody else ought to have it. But look at the word. It says, humble yourself. Now, this is important. I need you to understand, God can humble you and still never promote you. If he humbles you, usually chastisement, correction, and punishment is the result of him humbling you. So with that, he has no need nor no warrant to bless you because he had to break you. But when you understand it in its proper context and content, you'll understand that when you humble yourself in the presence and in the understanding of whose presence you are in, then it ought to be easy for you to humble yourself, bring yourself to the realization that you are the creation and he is the creator, and everything you are is because of him, and in him you move and have your being. When you realize and recognize that the humility that must come at this point comes because of your relationship and your fellowship and your understanding of his purpose for your life. Humble yourself. Well, when I humble myself, I begin to realize several things at play. First of all, that number one, God is in control. And if God is in control, then there is nothing chaotic, even if it seems like it, that God has not already worked out. What I've got to understand is that between his promise and the actual providing or the manifestation of that reality is called a process. And sometimes in the process of building or constructing, there's got to be some destructing. So sometimes before he can build up, there are some things he's got to tear down. Sometime you've got to realize before he can put you back the way he wants you, he's got to pick you all apart. Sometime before you can straighten up, you got to mess up some stuff. You got to pull some stuff up and get to the root of something. So you got to understand there is a process by which and through which God operates to get me to that next level. And I can't focus on the process. What I need to do while he's working it out is just continue to focus on him and what he's already done and praise my way through the process. Second of all, I've got to realize that not only, you know, is he in control, but I am his child. And if I am his child, I've got to remember that he loves me too much to let me have my own way. So sometime he's got to chastise me or discipline me. And yet I may not always understand why he uses the measures that he uses. Sometime that word discipline or chastisement has or carries two or dual connotations. One with he has to straighten me out for stuff I've done wrong. That's punishment. But then sometime he's got to train me and divinely develop me so that I'll be able to handle what he's got coming to me. You see, sometime when you're going through stuff, it ain't because you done some stuff. It's because of all the stuff God's getting ready to deposit in your life. You'll know how you ought to handle it when you get the stuff. I've said it before, it's like folk who ain't never had nothing, if they ain't never been trained in how to handle stuff, when they get stuff, they'll mess it all up. That's why if you don't learn how to deal with the realities of being faithful in few things, God will never give you much things to be over.